Ice cream.
Welcome to the Playthrough Podcast.
Oh my god. Is this a premium rate number we should put on?
Yes, it is.
Playthrough nights.
Hello, little boys. Welcome to the Playthrough Podcast.
Oh, it's even dirtier.
Yeah, it's taking a turn very quickly.
You keep your little boy out of this, Matt.
Oh, no. There's no coming back from this, is there?
No, this is unrecoverable.
So here's a new welcome for you then. Welcome to episode 122 of the Playthrough Podcast. Woohoo! We're ready to craft some mines, or actually, what we're ready to do is go on an adventure, because that's what we've been doing.
End some dragons.
End some dragons, yes, in the end.
Or end a dragon.
Yes, clever mate.
Yeah. I'm here all night. Yeah.
So we've been playing Minecraft for many, many weeks now. Especially the listeners have really taken to it and built lots and lots of beautiful stuff on our server. Of course, this all had to lead somewhere because we were trying to give the playing of Minecraft a goal, both for me and for Chris's sanity's sake, so that we knew what we were working towards. And the goal here was, of course, to kill the Ender Dragon, because that was the original end goal that I know of Minecraft. It wasn't there initially in the early versions, Morpin told us, but it was added at some point as an end goal. And there are multiple these days, I hear, but it's the one we tried to achieve, at least. So guys, before we go and talk about all of this crafting and mining and fighting dragons, what have you been up to, Chris?
Are we doing a waffle?
We're doing a waffle. Yeah, we've got, I think we've got plenty of time today, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, a waffle. Caught me by surprise. So,
caught him with his pants down.
Surprise waffle.
I don't really know what to say. What have I been up to? So, obviously played a bit of Minecraft. I've been admiring all the games that have been coming out and resenting the fact that I don't really have time to play them. There's been a good run, hasn't it, of things coming out.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play 007.
Yep, yeah, same.
Oh, man, that game looks so good. Didn't get around to that. Picked up Mina the Hollower because I backed it. So that was nice. That was nice, actually, kind of getting that in that way.
Took them many, many years. I was so surprised that it wasn't finished like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. It's wonderful, though. I only played an hour of it, regrettably. Mm. Like, I purposefully put it down. I think it's only like a 20-hour game.
Okay.
I think you can reduce that. From what I read, there's quite a lot of modifiers, isn't there? So you can make it as easy or as tough as you like.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's nice that they've included all that stuff, but it'd be nice to see if you can get through it without the way the devs intended.
Mm.
That'd be good. But Jake Kaufman's soundtrack and everything else, from the first hour, it looked, does so many clever things. I really like it. It's really difficult as well. It's good difficulty on the combat.
Mm. Did you pick it up on the Switch too as well?
I picked it up on the Switch. Yeah, it feels like the right...
Yeah, I picked it up there as well.
Feels like the right machine for it, doesn't it, I think. I picked up in the last couple of days the Dragon Quest. So playing the original Dragon Quest for Kane and Rince in a couple of months.
Oh.
So I managed to...
On the PC 88 or where was that released?
1986.
Yeah, but it wasn't released.
Was it NES?
Was it?
It was on the Famicom.
Dragon
Warrior was Dragon Warrior was the US version of Dragon Quest, wasn't it? So it's 1986.
I'm sure they were released on the PC 88 first before the NES.
No, not first. Okay. It did get a PC 88 release, and it got an MSX port as well, and loads of all those Japanese computers. But it was originally a Famicom game.
Okay.
I love those old school RPGs. I mean,
so which version have you been playing then, Chris? So is it a 2.5D remake or something? Was it?
So I played the original Famicom version.
Oh, okay.
The US version, so it was in English, Dragon Warrior, with all its old school trappings. That game is just pure grind. It's the first ever JRPG. It's the game that birthed the genre.
And kind of found out how to do grinding, I guess.
That's all it is. The whole game is just grinding. There is nothing else to it.
It sounds horrible, mate.
It sounds awful, doesn't it?
It's 20 hours of just wandering around the overworld looking for battles because you need to level up to level 20 to face the final boss.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does.
I loved it. Like, I would put
That's your thing, though, isn't it?
I find it just really meditative. Like, I put it on in the evening, I had a bit of a backlog of Retro Asylum episodes to catch up on. I just stick it on and just... Because I love music and games, so I'm not one of those people who plays games and listens to podcasts and stuff at the same time. I like to, like, get into the music. But this, there's only about three tracks in the whole game. And when you're just doing the same thing over and over, the music is great, but it will wear anyone down.
Yeah.
So just listening to you, Jim, and Chris O'Regan, and just loving it. Yeah. And I did that for like a week, every evening for a week, and managed to finish it.
Yeah. Nice. No, I totally get that. It's probably similar to grinding for an achievement or something, isn't it? I think it's repetitive.
You look at Andy.
I do. I love stuff like that. We've talked about that during the Dark Souls episodes, and I do. I find quite mindful about it. About repetitive nature of something. It's nice sometimes to switch off from a game, and you're still giving it a good amount of your attention, but not your undivided attention.
Yeah, exactly.
You can. I don't know, you feel like you can sometimes be semi-productive almost, where you can get a bit of gaming done and make a bit of progress, but at the same time you can maybe listen to something at the same time.
Or watching football or something
like that. Yeah, totally, just something on the back. Doing two things at once. And you can't do that when you're sort of doing duty gaming as such. So, yeah, it's good.
And I've been... So that was good. And I have now picked up the HD version as well, because I probably won't play that right through, but I definitely want to have a look at it, because that's the package that included 1 and 2. So I've picked that up on the Switch 2. It becomes my fourth physical Switch 2 game in about 14 months, which isn't...
Nice. I've got a bad little run, right? Not many. Three, yeah.
I wouldn't mind picking up The Adventures of Elias as well.
That looks Thursday. Brilliant. Have you played really the demo good, of that?
Huh?
Did you play the demo?
No, apparently it's moved on a lot since the demo, though.
Has it? So I really enjoyed the demo. I didn't finish it because I was unsure as to how much of the demo you can play before you roll into the main game. And I find, like, if you play a demo and then you have to play all the same thing again in the main game.
Yeah, it gets a bit boring, yeah.
But I really enjoyed what I played in the demo.
That looks really good, doesn't it? So that's made by the same people who made the likes of Octopath Traveler and Project Triangle and whatnot. Yeah.
But with real-time combat.
Yeah, it's more like of a Zelda-like rather than a traditional Final Fantasy. So that looks good. Yeah, there's so much, isn't it? And I've been playing Life is Strange. I'm three chapters into True Colors now.
Oh, nice.
So I play a chapter a weekend.
Did you see the report, the article on about Don't Nod today?
No.
It was on, I think it was on Eurogamer Reddit. They reckon they're going to run out, unless they can get more investment, they reckon they're going to run out of money by like November.
Oh, that's a shame. I think they've been bankrolled by Square Enix up to this point, haven't they?
Yeah, I can't remember it was now. It's a Chinese company that are part shareholders.
Yeah.
And they've said they're not putting in anymore.
Yeah, this True Colors was by, was it Deck Nine who did Before the Storm? The alternative one?
Oh, I don't know.
Because Don't Nod actually haven't done many Life is Strange games. Most of them have been done by the other team that did Before the Storm. True Colors is good. It's good. Not as good as Life is Strange 2, but good.
Yeah, I still need to get started on Life is Strange 2.
That's well worth your time.
I bought
that's
it and never started it.
But. Yeah, I would recommend. So, yeah, I've been playing lots, but lamenting all the things that I haven't been playing, which is a stupid thing to do, isn't it?
So, Jimbo, what have you been up to?
Ooh, Switch 2 stuff as well. I've been playing Pragmata on the Switch 2, so I've been playing the Switch 2 version of that. Runs really well, actually, surprisingly. I was debating whether to pick it up on the PS5 or the Switch 2, and I just felt like I wanted to play like a, inverted commas, sort of like a proper game on the Switch 2, because I feel like I've not played a proper game yet on the Switch 2. Been dipping in with stuff like Mario Kart. Donkey Kong, I suppose, was the last one. A third party proper game, if you like. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Really, really enjoying it. I'm about 3/4 of the way through now. I'm into the back end of it now. It's like some of the stuff, like plot wise, is starting to unravel itself. And it's really good. It's, how would you explain it, Chris? It's the combat. For anyone that isn't aware, the combat is kind of like the main thing about the game, isn't
yeah.
it? So can you remember like Pipe Mania?
Yeah.
It's probably the best way of describing
Mads
it.
Mads will remember Pipe Mania very yeah. well.
Yep.
So when you enter into a battle against like these different AIs, aren't they, different robots, and when you enter into a battle with one of them, it turns into like a game of Pipe Mania where you have to go through certain modifiers or attack boosters and all the yeah. rest of it. And when you get to the end point, you then go into the actual gun combat side of the game. And depending on how many modifiers you've gone through and like boosters and stuff like that, it's how effective your weapons are against the machines.
Okay. But you're kind of doing both at the same time though, aren't you?
Yeah, you got to be quick. You need quick fingers to get through that those pipe.
It's like patting your head and rubbing your tummy.
It is a little bit. It takes some getting used to. And it's like when you've got the bosses and they're fighting, barraging and missiles at you, and then they've got sometimes yeah. you'll have other smaller enemies around you as well yeah. that you've got to deal with. It can get a little bit like that, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
What's cool about it, though, is that when I first started, I wondered whether it had run out of legs a little bit, you know, because there isn't... Like, there isn't a whole lot of exploration there, is there?
And it's stories, very linear. Very,
stories
very
a bit of sci-fi linear. Nonsense.
Yeah.
But what I liked about it is that they just drip-fed, like, enough, like, new things through its 16-hour playtime to keep it fresh, and I thought they paced it really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just sort of got into the... There are sort of environmental puzzles yeah. as you go as well. And I've just gone past an area where it's quite heavy, sort of Zelda-y block moving puzzles.
Oh yeah, I know which one you mean. You're not far off the end of.
So
the story.
I've just gone past all that.
I know. That probably not its strongest foot forward. No. I don't think that bit. Are you going to do the post-credit stuff?
I didn't know there was any.
Okay, so yeah, it's not really a spoiler, but there is this kind of thing post-credits that you can do, which involves having to go back through each of the levels and find all the collectibles.
Oh, okay.
But you've probably found the thing that makes that a little bit easier by now anyway.
What, with your scanner? You activate your scanner and it tells you the rough sort of location where they are to head in that direction, doesn't it?
You have to fight like souped up versions of the bosses.
So I've done a couple of the red combat zones.
Yeah, so you go back through, you basically fight harder versions of the bosses, and then you unlock all these like little mini challenges.
That's it. They're like a horde mode, isn't it? You unlock like a door and it turns into like a horde mode where you go through ever increasing difficulty of enemies.
But I would recommend it. I mean, I think I 100%ed it in like 19 hours. And I thought it was great.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It feels very much sort of. No, it's not AAA, is it? It's very much like Expedition 33, maybe even a little less A than Expedition 33.
One A and a half.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it. That's well worth a check out. I think I only paid, about £40 on the Switch 2
It's so, a bit cheaper than that on the PlayStation as well.
Yeah, it's a decent little price.
How does it play handheld?
Good, really good, yeah. Yeah, really. The battery on that Switch 2, though, man, honestly, it's not very good, is it? When you're playing a game like that, and I noticed it when I was playing Madden, not so much FIFA, because I haven't played much of FIFA, but my boys have. But Madden, when I've played that handheld, it absolutely annihilates the battery on it.
What are you getting, about 2 hours?
If that.
Huh? Mm. Yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, hour and a half, maybe. But that's with like the vibration on and everything else.
Yeah. But, turn off the bells and the whistles.
Steam Deck, isn't it? If you have a game that taxes the Steam Deck, that's all you have.
Yeah, but I think the good thing about the Steam Deck, though, is you can improve it a little bit by turning down like the graphical
settings. Yeah,
yeah. I played Phantom Hourglass on the 3DS. Man, that battery lasts for hours and hours.
Yeah.
Mm. Like 8 to 10 hours, I reckon you get.
Mm. Yeah, there's still an awesome bit of kit in it, that 3DS. I'm pretty much finished collecting for it now, I think. I just need maybe a couple more games.
Got a full set?
No, just like the good games, not the guff. Good for me, anyway. Lots of Kirby.
Sonic.
What else? I played the demo of Star Fox.
Oh,
I don't know if anyone saw that.
Sting, cool tech. I'm waiting for the official release so I can just play through it. It looks great.
It's amazing. It's really, I mean, it's Star Fox in it. Like with the graphics turned up to dialed up to 100.
When is that out this month?
Yeah, it's like the 25th.
25th, yeah.
Yeah, so like a couple of weeks, isn't it?
I think I just got charged by, I got an email, I got charged by Nintendo today for...
Is it a full price release?
Yeah.
No, it's like 40 quid, isn't it? I've seen it on Amazon for 40 quid.
Is that not a full price release these days?
No, that's a cheap release these days.
Maybe, I think mine was 50. I went for the edition that got like... It's got like a couple like nice little
couple of trinkets.
I was going to say freebies, but they're not freebies because I've just paid more money for them.
Yeah. Well, I got.
I love the economics.
Yeah. I got.
You pay 70 quid there.
Yeah, it's got some paid for freebies in it. That,
I got dragged into that with Yoshi because I bought Yoshi and the Mysterious Book.
Yeah,
I didn't finish it. Didn't finish. That's another thing I've been.
Well, it came out about 10 days ago. Which means you've not finished it. You still got time.
Yeah, I know, but it's a bit boring, Chris.
Is it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it looks nice, but it's a bit boring.
A couple of mixed reviews on it, I think, wasn't there?
Mm. Yeah, but I got some nice trinkets with it. Got a nice little Yoshi plushie and stuff like that. Which my Rory, my youngest lad, he was like all over that straight away. That went.
Yeah, so that was exactly it. I got all the nice little goblins with it as well. And then it was just the other day, Hamish, we're basically, by the sense of things, he's effectively having a Yoshi-themed birthday in a couple of weeks' time. It's I've kept aside that plushie because you'll love that. And it's just something that ultimately didn't cost me anything in my mind.
You
had it anyway.
You're
so,
going as Captain Toad?
I might do, yeah. So it's the... he has got like the, I don't know if you saw advertised at the Mario movie, but like the Yoshi egg, the sort of
The popcorn bucket. Was it a Yoshi egg popcorn bucket or
it's
something?
Like an animated egg that opens up and it's got Yoshi inside it and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, cool. I'm thinking of something.
So it's like an animatronic Yoshi egg with Yoshi inside it. So we'll get that as well. Yes, it's I think you said did you get the red Yoshi?
I did get the red Yoshi, I think was there a, how do you say it, a tootie bag?
A tootie bag. Yes. Yeah.
There's one of them. I can't remember what else it was. It was like
a bookmark.
A bookmark, that was it. Yeah,
that all-important bookmark.
Yeah.
I love a bookmark.
Yeah.
I don't read books, do I? I lose interest.
I keep stuff like that aside. That's great. That's a great present to bribe my daughter with something for further down the line because she reads a lot. So I'm like...
I could just about manage a comic.
Get a bookmark for your comic. Page 3, right, that's enough for tonight.
That's me for tonight.
Just the one page a night.
Don't want to overextend myself.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, that's about me. I saw Masters of the Universe quickly. Non-gaming.
Yes, I want to go and see that big time.
I won't spoil it.
I haven't got to it yet. I'm desperate to see it, but
brilliant.
I can't find the right time to go.
Yeah.
Loved it.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And you got a figure.
I got two.
So are they like old school figures or new ones?
So they re-released the old figures in about 2022. Mattel.
He-Man looks a bit weird on your figure though, doesn't he?
Yeah. So what they what's it? You know where the points where they articulate. Maddie's like dolls were. Where the points where they like articulate like the arms and all everything, that's slightly different. But the actual packaging, all that was exactly how I remember it as a kid, like going into the brought shops in the Broadmoor Centre.
But it hasn't got like his really harsh bob that it used to have.
No, he hasn't. He has what? I mean, he's got now more. It's like more of a modern hair, sort of Bob. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's got a nice package. So.
But I didn't want to. I mean, you can obviously go on eBay and buy like the original figures, but like
I can still remember the smell of some of those figures.
Well, this is the problem, Andy. Like, you don't know where that's been shoved to you over the last few years. So I was like, I don't want to be buying that.
That is not the smell that I remember from my childhood. This has ruined it.
Exactly.
Do you remember the one that, like, the He-Man figure and he used to fire water? What was his name? He's, like, had, like, a fish face. Was it fish face?
Was it the one with the elephant? Did he have, like, an elephant head and he fired, like, water out of his trunk or something?
There was one, like Merman or something.
Yeah, Merman.
Merman.
Was it. So I used to have a Merman figure and I'd take it into the bath, you know, like, and squirt water around it. And it stunk. You know, like, when you get... Stale water
in there,
full of black mold inside.
It really stunk, but I love that merman. Mum and dad would be like, "Oh, that stinks!"
Yeah, full of some dirty bath water that's just like sat there and congealed inside it.
Mm. Yeah. Merman, was he a good guy or a bad guy?
He was a baddie. He was a baddie merman. Yeah. I've got a picture of me and my sister, and I'm clutching this Whiplash figure. I remember it. I remember this figure. And with some dodgy looking chimney sweep in the background, like he'd definitely be getting his internet, his like web hard disk drive checked these days.
Oh, God. Why was he there out of interest?
What?
Why was he in the photo?
I have no idea. It's just a random picture that I've got on like this old, like an
in
old,
your house?
Yeah, it's in like my old memory box. Yeah, this.
No, but like, it's a photo inside your house.
It's outside. It's outside the house.
Okay.
Me and my sister. Yeah. Okay. Me and like a cardigan. It's like big cardigan clutching this Whiplash toy. This dodgy looking chimney sweep in the background, like grinning away.
Chimney sweep.
Yeah, that was the 80s for you.
Oh, I love it.
So, with all of those waffles, Andy, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I've just dabbled a wee bit with. It was actually Hamish that wanted to play it the other night, so we put on Yoshi and the Mysterious Book. So played the first couple of hours of that. Very, very slow progress because he was playing, so I was sitting there having to sit on my hands and bite my tongue for about the best part of an hour. I had to like suffocate the... just wanting to scream, just jump and press right at the same time. Why can't you jump and press right at the same time? It seems to be a one. It's like an and. Or, it's a one or the other. But we got there in the end, so that's the main thing. I'll probably pick that up and play a wee bit more with it. But it's actually been a wee bit more retro. For the first time in a lot, I've just been a few other places where I just had a wee bit of time to kill. So I've been. I've got my Switch 2 set up here on the TV, and that pretty much is a home console. But I've got my Switch, my original Switch, the launch day Switch that I use just as kind of a chuck in the bag one to have with me. And I think I maybe actually play it more as a consequence because I'm far less precious about it. But it is good because obviously you can get with your Switch Online subscription. I've got it on both.
Mm.
So I've just been, it's actually been quite a wee while since I'd logged into it. So I went back on and just, updated it with all the games. So I was playing back through, I was just looking for games that I'd played in the past that hadn't ever really made much progress with. So I was playing through, making very, very slow progress myself on eSWAT on the
Mega.
That's a difficult game.
Yeah, it is. I love that in the arcade.
Yeah, but it's quite nice actually, obviously, by playing it with the Switch on, you get all the kind of the quality of life benefits with being able to make save states and rewind and all that sort of stuff. So it's good. But Jimbo, most importantly, I'm sorry that I didn't just send you a message directly at the time to say it. Sonic Spinball, what a game!
Oh, you like it, do you?
I love Sonic Spinball. That is like that. I've just been sad. It is such an easy game just to kind of switch off. Like we're talking about kind of micro gaming.
I mean, it's frustrating though, isn't it? The way
massively. Yeah. Totally. Like none of your progress carries over each time. So
you start like from table one.
Yeah, which seems like a massive oversight, but it's an enjoyable game nonetheless. It's good. I think I quite like some of the additional. That's a game of benefit. Was that a one and done? There was never anything.
There was an 8-bit version, so it came out on a Master System and the Game Gear as well. But
wasn't there a version for the DS as well?
Right.
Oh, was
it? No, I just kind of...
I think there was.
There was a DS version. I didn't know that.
It's just such a great concept. There's such a good match with the very light platform elements of where you've got traditional Sonic controls, but then the rest of the time it's just a traditional pinball game. But
some would say that Sonic only had very light platforming elements as well. Those are
people who have never scratched beneath the surface and got into the real intricacies of it there, Chris. It's
It's all there, isn't it? You have to like get all the Chaos Emeralds in the tables and stuff.
Yeah. It's quality.
The Kirby pinball game, Andy, that's really good.
That is really good,
And that's on the Switch Online as well. Game Boy.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll have a look at that.
That game is really good.
What it did get me craving for, though, was, which I think I will put on my pocket. I don't actually have any Mega Drive games on at the moment, but I think I'll put Devil's Crush on my analog pocket. That was peak pinball gaming for me. But that has been it, really. A couple little sessions with Hamish on Minecraft, just doing a couple of bits and bobs, but otherwise that's been it on the gaming side. Just kind of, it's been quite nice actually, I think, post Minecraft. It's just kind of a wee opportunity just to, after the grand finale the other night, it's been nice just to have a wee break and sort of...
Are you over Dark Souls now? Is that out your system?
Are you ready to move on? I am ready to move on. I can say that a lot more. I'm not trying to convince myself when I say that now.
No, I still get little pangs, you know, of wanting to go and play that DLC.
Yeah, I think the nice thing is that I really feel like I put the game to bed for the time being. So,
you know what happened last time we played the Dark Souls? Andy played the Dark Souls game. We had to go and sand Blooming Stairs for 9 months to get it.
Yeah.
Just to switch off and just, it was almost like the kind of like, I don't know, like going off to a monastery or something like that. And just
spent 7 years in Tibet.
Yeah, just withdrawing from life for a few months whilst I come to terms with the end of it all. So
you're okay.
I do feel ready to get into Ghosts though.
No. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. The quick question is before we move on. So obviously you can play it in kind of like the sort of the Kurosawa mode where it's in black and white, or you can just play it. Can you switch on the fly?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to have a look at that because that's I would like to see it, but I suspect with it being such a good looking game, you're gonna lose out a wee bit by.
I think it'd be well. We can talk about this maybe as we kind of pivot at the end. It looks absolutely incredible. Like for the first playthrough. As cool as Kurosawa mode seems to be, oh my god, this game, like for a PS4 game, wowzers, it's a beauty.
Yeah. What was that one on the Wii? Mad World. That was all in black and white, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, with red blood.
That's right, yeah.
I've got a copy of that.
What have you been up to, Mads?
Not much gaming-wise, mate. The only game I've played is Toonstruck. But I found time to play all the way through that because I've been ill, so I've just had a lot of time to sit and point and click, and I couldn't drag myself away from Toonstruck. What a wonderful pointer and clicker.
How long would you reckon it took you?
I'm sure it must be like 12, 15 hours, something like that.
Yeah. It's a big game, isn't it?
It is. At some point... When I got it's a double CD game. When you go from CD1 to CD2, I was certain that I was far more than halfway through. But that's pretty much the halfway point, actually. There's lots of game left still on CD2.
What year was that, Matt? Did
you say 96?
96.
Yeah. And it's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, half FMV and half animation. Most of it.
Space
animation.
Jam and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, cool. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The only real character. Well, there's a little clip in the beginning. That's actually just FMB, but other than that, it's a cutout of Christopher Lloyd, who's playing this cartoonist that's sucked into a cartoon world, and lots of fun stuff happens. I love the humor and the zany, wacky tone of it all. It's great.
It's so funny, isn't it? Because it's like harkens. We're gonna do like a game club style episode on Retro Asylum, but like it harkens back to a time when. Yeah, they threw absolute so much money at this game. And it harkens back to a time when a publisher would do that for a point-and-click adventure game.
Yeah.
It's a AAA game.
Mm.
And now, like, in 30 years, it's become like a niche, almost, you know, kind of, it's become like a niche proposition, hasn't it, a point-and-click game?
Mm.
So yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Although it seems that there's more release now than there probably was back in 96.
But no really big productions anymore, right?
No.
the big
no oh yeah that's one. Yeah yeah they're all I suppose the was oh what's the one that did the Kickstarter that was set was it set in a fairground
Thimbleweed Park.
Yeah,
but even that wasn't published, funded by one of the big publishers. No. That was an indie game, basically.
No, it's as a genre, it's there's still lots of good stuff being released, but we don't see those huge productions anymore.
Did you see the Kickstarter for Under a Killing Moon?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, I backed it. That has done gangbusters, that Kickstarter.
Yeah, for some reason, this doesn't interest me at all. I mean, a remake of with a bit better video graphics, but what do I need that for? It's just an upscale.
Don't you think it's a nice thing to back, though, to show that there's an appetite for it?
Yeah, perhaps. It does nothing for me, and I think we talked about it on the Discord. Some people were saying that... I was saying, well, maybe this is a nice way to bring it to new players, but no new players will want to play this. This is only for the old fans anyway.
Is it not a case, though, that some of the charm is in that old FMV?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I don't see the point in upscaling and making new graphics for that.
So. The charm's not in the crappy video quality, though. The charm is in the way it's acted. And
yeah, but in the crappy video quality as well.
Yeah, I think that adds to it. If you go and play Night Trap,
There's nothing charming about Night Trap, mate.
I think that it's not a good game. Don't get me wrong, it's not a good game at all. But I think there's something there's a charm to that sort of VHS aesthetic and the terrible acting.
I don't get up-resing this at all. Retouching it, adding filters so it looks like a CRT on your modern 4K display. Making some behind-the-scenes stuff, that would be a recreation.
Get your wallet
like
out
back.
And get it back, Jim Izzog. Come on. We need to show them that there's support. Come on.
Yeah. Not for me, mate. Not for me. But apart from some Toonstruck, I don't think I've been doing any playing at all. That's not true. I've been playing a tiny bit of Baldur's Gate 3 with my friends I play online games with. So
how are you finding
slowly making progress. That game is huge.
Yeah.
We're still in Act 1, I think. So...
Wow, yeah, it's good though. I bet you.
Yeah, it's really good. It's the writing is a bit heavy-handed sometimes, but I love the mechanics. It's a great game.
Did you guys see the trailer for the new Fable game last week at the Xbox thing?
No, I missed. I still haven't seen it. No.
Oh, it's well worth checking out. Like the trailer for the new Fable game.
That's still coming to multi-platform, isn't it? I think that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
but it's got that you know, like this style of dialogue that Baldur's Gate 3 had and Crimson Desert has. You know, that kind of almost like that English.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of UK based accents and whatnot.
Yeah.
Rough and ready dialogue. It looks good.
Lots of northern accents.
That kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
there was a preview on Eurogamer as well back end of last week that said, like, you know, they got a couple of hours with it and are very excited. Looks like it could be good.
I've only played one game called Fable, and that was a point and click back in the mid 90s. I've never played the Fable series on Xbox.
Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, I never played them on
I never
Xbox.
Played them.
Okay. No.
He's making another game which is not called Fable. But is set in the same universe, isn't he, Peter Molyneux?
Yeah, he's making the best game ever.
What is probably his final game?
Do you reckon?
Until the next one.
He said so. There's a long article. There's a long article where he's very, very open-hearted in Itch. I think it was like 6 months
That's
ago.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Read that.
I reckon
it's
like,
quite good,
this
actually.
Game is going to be the first game that you can, I don't know, dive into and star in yourself or something. He likes to sell it big, Molyneux, doesn't he?
He does. He used that one with Milo, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he used that one. Was it Milo that came out on Kinect?
Oh, God. First game you can star in yourself.
Yeah. He talks a lot about that reputation and then how much he hates that. That's what everybody thinks of him these days. In that long article in Edge, it's well worth a read. But it sounds interesting what he's done.
Yeah,
it takes some doing that though, because I remember, I've said before, like I never had a decent PC growing up, and I was a console gamer. But I remember reading magazines, and I remember reading about Black and White, and feeling like a little bit excited for it. Yeah, I had no way I was ever going to play it, but I was a little bit hyped for it, and I had. I had no reason to be.
Yeah,
Black and White got so much hype, didn't it? It's so much.
I never played
just
it.
Like an okay game.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all right, but it was nowhere near like this. Is like the game that you could do everything. You can be God.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's just all right.
Yeah. It got a sequel though, didn't it?
It did.
At least one.
Yeah. Okay.
At least one.
Yeah, I never played it. I think I have it here on a shelf somewhere. But
The world loves a visionary.
Mm. Yeah.
A dreamer.
It does.
Absolutely. And I think it'd be a worse place without people like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, you got to back yourself at the end of the day, don't you?
You certainly do.
Yeah. I think the best game he did Dungeon Keeper as well, didn't he? That must be the best game that he made.
Certainly a studio did. I don't know how much he was involved in that.
Yeah. I love that. That was a great game. But
yeah, he did Syndicate. Well, he's Bullfrog. They did Syndicate as well, didn't they?
I'm not sure he was
Bullfrog did Syndicate, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Bullfrog, wasn't it? That's really good.
Yeah, it was Bullfrog, yeah.
True.
Populous.
Yeah, I never liked Populous. Never really.
You were more of a Megalomania man.
Yes, Megalomania was great. That was a good game.
Similar-ish.
Mm. Yes, I remember that on the Mega Drive, yeah. Mm.
So, guys, you ready to go into Minecraft
ready.
Mode?
Yes.
Yes. So,
pickaxes at the ready.
Not very long ago, a Sunday, 14, I think, or maybe 15 of us gathered on the Minecraft server and set out on a huge adventure to first find the Ender Dragon and then kill it, of course. And that was some undertaking. Took a long time to just get people to be in the same place that we'd actually start, Chris. A long, long time.
The other side of the map.
Well, it's where we had our little island retreat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. That's where I had to come from as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a bit
some of us did in a boat, Jim, and then some of us didn't, Chris.
If you remember, Chris, we had a little session and we finished down in the underwear in the nether, didn't we? And so I was lost in the nether.
Yeah, but if you die, you go back out, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. I know, but I had loads of stuff like arrows and that, and I didn't know if I'd need them for the for the mission.
That session was the death of me.
And in the end, I threw myself into the lava.
Committed harikari.
Just to get out of there, yeah.
That nether, man. Oh, God. Yeah. That place.
Yeah, I think I might have committed a crime as well, because I said to Jim, just kill yourself, so...
Yeah,
and I did. I didn't take much persuading.
But yeah, everybody found their way back to the camp, and Raushi had made us a chest full of all the stuff we'd need. So we just grab some gear and put it on and head on out. So that was great. And I'm going to do a little pub quiz here to see if any of you actually learned anything. So let's start with Jim, because you said, oh, God. So how did we find the dragon, Jim? What did we do to track down the dragon?
Oh, we needed, it was the pearls. I can't remember what they called it. Ender pearls?
Yeah, eyes of Ender. They're made with blaze powder and Ender
And you
pearls.
Had to throw them up in the air, and then they went off in a direction, and you had to follow it, pick it up, and repeat.
Yeah,
rinse
exactly.
And repeat.
That was the beginning. That was the beginning of the adventure. We have to throw up these... eyes of Ender and see which way they fly and just follow them. And we did that. And actually, that didn't take us too long. Just like a 15-minute ride into the sunset somewhere. And then we found wherever it was that this Ender Dragon's fortress was. It was called something. What was the fortress called? You guys remember that?
Oh, no.
The End.
I forget what it was called.
Yeah, but you forget about the half an hour thing it took to find the blooming portal.
Yeah, that's what we're getting to now.
Just while we were on our way there, did anybody else get mild anxiety every time that we had to climb a hill or something and everybody else was rapidly scaling up and then you would miss a jump and you felt like you were going to get left behind every time by the convoy?
And getting down as well, because I'm still rubbish with a mouse and a keyboard.
Yeah. And there were some big drops there.
Yeah, that's it. You just
didn't
want to be that person,
well.
Did you?
No, but we ended up on some mountainside, and then when we threw our Eye of Ender up, it just went straight down. So we had to burrow our way down. And I think maybe somebody in front of us was really quick at burrowing, or maybe somebody had been there before, because there was just a... like. a spiraling staircase almost made down into the mountain. And
probably
that, yeah, probably. And down there we found the whatever it's called, the labyrinth, where the portal to the end was. And then we faffed about for half an hour trying to find our way through that labyrinth until finally Jensen, I think, found it.
That was just trying to open the doors.
Yeah, that was just trying to open a single door.
Oh, yes. The worst boss in the entire game, it's the doors in that section. So for people who haven't played this before, in this little labyrinth, whenever you go to a door, you can press a button, and then you have like half a second to go through the door, and it slams shut behind you again. It's horrible.
Yeah. And the switch for the door is like hidden in the same sort of font,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
As the wall that the switch is mounted onto. So it's really hard. If you don't know it's there, it's really hard to see.
Yeah, I missed it so many times, but it is just there to the right all the time, I think. So
and there seemed to be a lot of European queuing going on as well, where if there was a cruddy at the door that... So I would press to open it, and then people would just barge past me to go through. By the time I went to go through, it closed again. So I'd press it to open, and somebody else who was standing right in front of me would just barge past.
We need some good British queuing going on.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. One at a time here, people. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, it was horrible. So in the end, most of us just destroyed the two blocks to the right
to
of
the
door instead. Just ran through because it was so annoying. But it was... very, very hard to find a way through that labyrinth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I still don't really understand how the portal was found.
Well, it was just Vincent who stumbled upon it. He was just running around like we were. And what we should have been doing instead of just running around like 14 headless chicken, we're, of course, just placed down torches where we've been. To mark, okay, I've been here, and then you'll slowly find your way through, right? But we were just running around completely uncontrolled.
I think it's possibly something where it's maybe the one part of the game where I think the numbers worked against us. Because I think it was just all of us just dashing in different directions and crisscrossing, and I think everybody wanted to be the person to find it, and then I'd be running one way with a gaggle of people, and I'd see what I thought looked like a better looking gaggle that were going in the other direction. So I would just peel off and join that one instead and run off in a different direction. And there was a lot of chat between the, because obviously we had the voice channel going at the same time.
Mm.
And so there was a lot of conflicting information on the radios, a lot of conflicting chatter, I think, as to where to go and what to do. But I think that just added to the fun of it. But we were saying there was, I think at one point, but we literally were just going around. We said the only thing that was missing was some Benny Hill music, because we were literally just going round and round in a big circle and kept catching up with one another.
Yeah. But in
In theory, should it be the case that once you've accessed that, so you would find your... So where you were throwing the Eyes of the Ender, and then obviously they come straight down, does that dungeon, or whatever we want to call it, does that have... a preformed entrance, or do you would you always have to, is it sort of in a cube and you would have to tunnel into it?
I think you have to tunnel into it. I've only done it a couple of times, but we tunneled into it every time.
So. And then once you're within it, it's effectively a self-contained structure. So in theory, from that point onwards, you could then access everything within it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to tunnel anything else or mine anything else from that point on. Then it's just a labyrinth to figure out where it is.
How big are they? Do they vary in size? Or?
Yeah, they're all about the size that we were running around in, and they're all in like four or five layers. So there are different floors to it as well. And
right.
But they seem to be very like randomly generated. I couldn't recognize anything. So.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's the only one that I'd seen. So I wasn't quite sure how representative or otherwise it was of those structures in general.
Yeah. Like the textures and all that sort of thing. They're always the same, are they?
Yeah. They are. So yeah, same material that it's built from, same annoying doors and same kind of ladders or like spiral staircases that were in between the different floors.
Yeah.
And there were no baddies down there, were there?
No. The baddie here is the layout. You need to figure out where to go.
And that had always been there, like from the moment you created the server, that gets generated and can be found within the first hour, or can be 200 hours, and may never be found.
Yeah. It's very, very hard to find if you, I mean, there are only few, I think there are more than one. There are a few of these generated on the server because the server is huge. I mean,
yeah.
The world is huge. So I'm guessing there'd be a few of these generated, but they're few and far between. So you could play forever and not stumbling into this.
Not find it, yeah.
But you need to know to make the Eyes of Ender and use those to find it, of course.
Yeah.
And there's only one dragon.
Yes. It's if, I'm guessing there are more of these fortresses, but the portal leads to the end, and there's only one dragon in the end.
Mm.
So, yeah. So when we finally found the portal, you need to place the your remaining Eyes of Ender in the frame around the portal. That activates it. So when you put the final Eye of Ender in, the portal gets activated, and everybody can jump in and go to the end. And just before I placed the final eye, I said to people, remember to place down your bed and set your spawn point, because this from here on there'll be dragons. And everybody except for Chris did that, I think.
Well, I think pretty much, I think about halfway or maybe like three quarters to the end of that sentence, Maz, of you giving this explanation, it was almost like in the background you could just hear Chris shouting, Cowabunga! As he like disappeared off into the...
I was already in the portal place, the frame.
Yeah.
And then you threw the last thing in, and I automatically just... So I was in the end for a good 30 seconds before anybody else joined me.
Yeah. You had no chance of putting down that bed.
No, well, I was telling you over the headset, I was like, put your bed down, Chris, put your bed down. And Lucas was beyond me going, no, don't do that, it'll kill you, it'll blow up.
He'd lost his head at that point. He had the tunnel vision, the red mist was down. He was just like, right, this dragon's mine, and he was off.
I was Geronimo-ing in.
So with Chris leading us on, 14 people rushing that dragon, and that was quite an easy fight, the easiest way I've ever killed that dragon, because that dragon is actually quite hard to kill. There's like seven or maybe eight like towers, 10 towers around it, just huge pieces of blocks, and you need to bring in some blocks so you can go all the way up there and destroy, or maybe shoot them with your arrow, some... what are they? Some crystals.
The crystals that recharge the dragons.
Yeah, exactly. They'll recharge the dragon's energy. So whenever you hurt it, it'll just get new hit points. So you need to destroy all of those, and then you can start killing the dragon. And the dragon, you can kill it with arrows, or you can run. It'll sometimes fly down into the middle and then kind of perch there. And you can run and then slash at it with your sword there. And it didn't take us more than, 10 minutes to bring it down?
Yeah, about that one. 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Everybody got to see the end credits, except from Chris, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, did you not see the end credits?
No.
So he's still not finished the game.
I was back at bait. I went fishing while you guys were killing the Ender Dragon.
I'm not 100% that I got a hit on it, to be honest, because I spent ages trying to climb up one of those posts with the crystal on the top, those columns with the crystals on the top. I spent ages doing that, and then someone had just wiped it out by the time I got to the top, and then I couldn't get back down. So I was trying to shoot the dragon from on top, and I wasn't sure if I even got a hit on it, because you can't really tell, can you? Because there's so much sort of going on.
Mm.
And he moves around. Who got the final hit? The death blow.
No. Do you know who got the final death blow?
Who?
The man who should have got the final death blow.
Mads?
It was Mads.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's cool.
If anybody should have got the final blow, it was his. It was his to be had.
Mm. Yeah. In the end, it landed. So I just rushed over and hit it, and it died. So
yes.
So we got the dragon. We got the dragon in the end. Everybody except from Chris got to experience that and to jump into the. Once it dies, it leaves a portal under it where it dies. You can jump into that to get back to the fortress or whatever it was that we were at. And when you jump in there, there's like 10 minutes of credits going with this most nonsensical story that weaves you into it. So if you have time, read it at some point. It's actually good fun, but we were just chatting and having so much fun, so I didn't read any of it this time around.
Still not really sure how I died, because I built myself like a little mini fortress.
Yeah.
when I realized that if I died, I was going back to base, I built myself like a fortress with a roof and everything. And my plan was just to kind of cocoon myself.
Yeah.
I did the same, but I think it was the dragon has got some sort of magic.
Yeah, it's message.
It's almost like a cloud that
Seeps in.
Seeps in. Yeah, and you're actually almost, because I did the exact same. I built myself, I was quite pleased with myself. And then the problem was that I couldn't tunnel back out it fast enough. It was like being trapped in a bunker with mustard gas. All of my own making, which is a bit stupid. But I guess if you built one big enough, you might be able to go far enough to one side or the other where it won't affect you. But
mine was like one square that I could stand on.
A little turret or like a little pillbox.
It was disappointing not to be there right at the end, but that last session we had was definitely the most fun I'd had playing the game.
Oh, it was amazing.
I was showing the video to Hamish, a massive shout out to, it was Ready at Dead, wasn't it? Yeah, Hadley that had recorded the video of the whole escapade, and I was showing it to Hamish, and he was getting so excited because there was something very, very cool about the point just before we set off, where there was, as you said, Mads, I think 14 of us that were all there in our diamond armor, and then some had some armor well beyond that on top of it as well, where it was like a proper expedition as we all set off.
Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
It's like the charge of the Light Brigade.
I can only compare it to like when you do some of the multi-stage strikes on like Destiny 2.
Because I had a
great laugh at times playing that, and that was it was up there with that when you got a load of you on there, the chaos. Oh, brilliant.
Great fun with everybody on the voice chat as well. That was good.
Nobody really knew what they were doing, which was the hilarious part. Like there was one or two people like Roushi and whatnot who, I mean, as far as you can know what you're doing when you don't really know where you're going, but everyone was just tearing off in different
times. Yep.
I think that added to the fun of it, though, where it was. It was just largely a case like the blind leading the blind, and it was all the more fun. It was chaotic, but I think it lasted for me just the perfect length of time.
We
didn't get there too quickly. So it felt like we'd earned it when we got to the dragon, but likewise, it didn't feel like it'd been an endless slog to get there. Mm. And then the same with the fight itself, is that I thought maybe with that number of us going into the fight, that it might be a bit of a non-event, but it was still, it wasn't a done deal by any means. And it still kind of took quite a bit of work. I certainly died. And then, You felt like a genuine sense of achievement, despite the numbers it had taken to do it.
Mm.
It felt like a genuine sense of achievement having done so. It made it all the more special, I think, having done it with so many people.
Yeah. Can you imagine trying to do that on your own?
Oh, yeah, no. It must be so hard.
But people must do it, though.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they must. They do, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, there are people who speed run this game and can... from logging in, having nothing, to killing the dragon in a couple of hours.
It's a good effort.
You need to know just what you're looking for. And I guess just the fact that you can speedrun the game also tells us that stuff isn't that random. There is some rhyme or reason to a lot of the stuff that's going on a Minecraft server.
I suppose you just, it's just a question of resource gathering, right? And then...
Yeah,
you can go and do it.
Yeah, you need to be good at the combat, and you need to know what you need as a minimum to go there.
I suppose you'd need a little bit of luck on your side in terms of when you get to the Nether, finding what were they called?
The blaze spawners.
You'd need a bit of luck on your side with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and finding a few diamonds as well, because you need to get to the Nether. You need the what was it called? The blocks that we can only mine with the
The obsidian.
The obsidian, with diamond pickaxe.
Yeah, that's right. You need the diamond pickaxe for that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I won't be speed running Minecraft anytime soon anyway, so it'll be all good. Now, this was wonderful, and I'd like to thank all of the listeners that joined us there. That was such good fun. I did play a bit after that as well. Today, I've been playing a trial chamber that Roushi found for us. So my daughter and I ran down there. He made us a nice long hallway that he painted with some slated something stone, so we could just follow that, easy to find. And down there, there was a set of trial chambers. Again, it's like two or three floors of different chambers, a lot of it built in copper blocks and stuff like that. And in there, it was great fun. I've never done it before. There are lots and lots of spawners. You know those spawner blocks with fire in that, where the monsters come out of? Yeah. These were special spawners. They would spawn monsters. When you get too close, they'd spawn monsters until maybe it spawned 10 of them. And then when you kill those, then it would stop spawning monsters and some reward would come out of the box instead. And the reward would often be a key or two. And those keys could be used to unlock these special kinds of... they weren't chests, they were just other kind of blocks that you used the key, and then some real goodies popped out, like a diamond armor or all sorts of stuff.
It's like Hades.
Yeah, it was great fun, actually. Yeah, lots and lots of those spawners, and often two or three of them at the same time, so you need to be careful. So my daughter's played a lot of Minecraft. She's a lot better than me at it, and we were wearing the same diamond armor we had on before, and so we were well prepared for this, and it was a tough battle, but... we did it. We didn't die, and we went all the way through this trial chamber, fighting all sorts of funny monsters that I haven't seen before as well. And that's actually good fun. So if somebody's playing Minecraft and you stumble upon a chamber underground somewhere where it seems that lots and lots of stuff are built out of copper, now that's a trial chamber. There was an achievement just for entering it as well.
And are they quite common throughout the world?
I've never seen them before, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did Rauchy find it and just stumbled across it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, the amount of things that you can come across and see and do, it's just amazing, really.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, and we haven't done half of it yet. I mean, there's so much. There's something called the Wither that Rauchy said we should try to fight as well. It's a lot harder than this. And Rauchy was always talking about fighting stuff underwater. You know the thing that made you sick or whatever it did to you?
Give me the spoon.
Yeah, give me the spoon. So we could fight that underwater as well. And there's lots and lots of stuff to do.
But you know what I would come back to, though? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, that's because it needs a different kind of gamer. But let's get into that now. Let's get into that now, then, because Chris, you really didn't want to be playing Minecraft, so it'd be funny to hear what's your view on this game and this genre of games.
Yeah, now. It's dead. I find it really interesting. So I've kind of swung around on this, and I think kind of where I come out is I have an absolute ton of respect for the game. I think it's amazing, like the creation. Again, it's unbelievable, really. You think back from where it started to where it is now, an absolute phenomenon, cultural phenomenon. I paid over the odds for it, but you know the Mojang story thing about the so that DVD is out of print now, but I bought a copy off eBay and paid about 40 quid for it.
Mm. Oh, nice. I bet that would be a good... Because, sorry to interrupt, when you're watching the credits, I was... like you say, it started off with like one guy.
Yeah.
And the amount of developers and in those credits, like you say, Maz, it goes on for like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but the money it must make, Jim. I mean... I spent about 120 quid on it, you know. You know, I bought it three times and I bought the blooming DVD and it's huge, isn't it? We spoke about this last time. It's absolutely massive. And the people who love it really do love it. So last time we recorded, I was probably at my peak enjoyment of it where, you know, I loved going down into the mines and discovering all the things and, like, you know, finding armor, finding the diamonds was still really exciting. I think kind of what happened to me is I had a few of those sessions where, it's just really fun. Like, you know, we're fighting things and we're getting diamonds and stuff. And then I started to feel, like quite samey this and that, like the magic and the luster of finding a cave and this big cave network was starting to, like, lose its novelty a little bit. And I went back then to the way I was right at the start, and then I was like, well, I need more. Like, I need structure. I need to I'd love it if it was, and this is not the game, but for me, like, my version of this is a game which sets you the objectives of, like, right, now, you know, go and find a mine, iron, and almost broke it down to the point to lead you to the Ender Dragon, which I think for lots of people, the attraction is the open nature of it.
I find it funny that they haven't done something like this a long time ago, because they've got the engine here, and I mean, you can do a lot more than that. You can have missions and side missions and do just a regular adventure here.
Almost like on when we played Halo, and you could kind of opt in and out of the story or things that would actually advance. Yeah, exactly. So like literally you could switch it on and like, right, okay, now go and do this, and give you some sort of progression and build it up as to kind of teaching you as you go through it as to how all the various mechanics and some of the slightly more nuanced aspects of it, of which there are many.
Because I felt like in a game where it's almost like infinite possibilities, like if you look, and they have got that series of achievements and you've got the different things that you can do, and but a lot of it's really kind of nebulous. And it's like, well, how do I even do that? You know, it's like getting a crafting table. It's like, I wish
any achievement was by accident. It wasn't because I wasn't consciously thinking, oh, can I, if I do this, I'll get that type thing. It was the other way around.
But it's like, you know, I got to the point where you go and the first time you find diamonds, like, oh my God, this is really exciting. No one's been down here before. And then kind of the fourth cave you explore, and it's like, right, yeah, you know, got to the bottom, managed to get to bedrock. Oh, look, there's diamonds, and it's, you know, and then, so I was a little bit like, why am I doing this? Like, why have I logged on again to do the same thing? Like, I don't feel like I'm achieving anything here. And I knew what our end game was. And then we kind of did the whole nether thing. Mm. And I really didn't like that. The combat was too difficult. Mm. So I was dying, and then I'd lose all my stuff because I didn't get back in time. And then we had loads of resources. So then I just had to go through the laborious task of creating a whole load of things again. And I did stop enjoying it. I did. Whenever we were on together, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed catching up in the crack, and it was always a laugh when we played together. But I went through a phase where I would log in on my own quite regularly, and that kind of tailed off. To the point where I end where I started, in that Minecraft is not for me. Mm. I think the game is phenomenal, and it looks amazing as well, by the way. It looks amazing. I have a ton of respect for it. And there is a version of Minecraft that I would really like, but it's just not Minecraft. And what it has done, though, is taught me that before we played Minecraft, if you'd said to me, oh, come play Subnautica, it's a survival game where you've got to craft stuff and everything like that, I would have said, absolutely not. I will not like that game. That has completely changed. The survival aspect of Minecraft I really liked. And if you put that in more of like a narrative or more of a structured game, I think I would really, really enjoy it. But that's just not what this is.
There's something mindful, though, and that's what you need to get out of Minecraft. There's something mindful about just going about your business, mining a bit.
I didn't find it mindful. Your field.
It's the same kind of players that play, from what I've seen, that play The Sims or Animal Crossing. I never play those games.
It's weird that you bring that up, Mads, because I put so many hours into New Leaf on the 3DS.
Hmm.
Not so much New Horizons on the Switch. I did play it, but like nowhere near the hours I put in on the 3DS. Like hundreds of hours.
Okay.
And Minecraft never got me to that point where I was logging in, I was playing just to like, God, I think it's probably because of the size of the game. Like in Animal Crossing, you can log in, do a loop, chat to a few neighbors, build a little craft or whatever, see what's changed. Water your plants. And then you can put it away, right? I've done it, I've played it for the hour for that day. Whereas Minecraft is so big, it's almost intimidating. Like you can't just sort of sit in there. Unless I suppose like you're doing like what some of the guys did where they've set yourself
a challenge.
Yeah, where they've been building these amazingly impressive structures. That side of it part of it was the mouse and keyboard for me. I never really felt comfortable with the mouse and keyboard. So that side of it never really sort of caught me.
Yeah. So I like the building, but I don't like having to get all of the material for the building, for example. So when I was back in the day, when I was playing this with the kids, when we were just doing it for building stuff, we'd go into creative mode. And then you have all the blocks you want, just pick whatever you want. And just, you can even fly, actually, so you won't fall down when you're building stuff. And then it'll be like building Legos. I like that, but for a few hours, then I'll get bored. And the kids will continue building huge structures instead. And I think I'm pretty much, I'm like you, Chris. I start playing this whenever I do this once a year with the kids. And when I start, I'm all in. I'll even sometimes consider logging in myself, but more normally I need the kids to be there as well for me to be interested in this. I love the exploration of the caves when it feels dangerous and you finally find a few diamonds and so on. But when I've done it two or three times, it's just going through the motions for me. And then I get tired with it and I just want to go kill that dragon, because then that's the adventure. I like that. I like finding the dragon. I like trying to kill it. This was the easiest kill I've ever had. The other battles I've had with that dragon have been like hour long ordeals. So that's completely different adventure there. But I get tired of it as well. But I definitely see what is there, and I see why people love it so much. I see and understand why Aaron wants to build his giant castle. Totally. And I understand how Roushi loves traveling around and making all those maps and discovering everything. It's a wonderful game, and I definitely understand people who are crazy about it. But I find myself getting bored after an hour or two in it, and then I need to log off and do something else, and then I'll go back. And after being on a server for a month, it's enough for me. I need to move on and then play something else.
Like 8 weeks ago, I would have, scoffed, and said, how can anyone enjoy that? I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. It was my ignorance. I didn't understand what was there. I didn't really understand what a gameplay loop in Minecraft looked like. Now I absolutely do. I completely understand. Like, if you're like a Morpin who like set yourself this challenge, build this castle, go and obtain the resources and then build it, I can complete, that is not for me. I'm not creative. I haven't got the patience for it. It's not for me. But I can completely understand why people do love that. I can understand how Roushi's got 1,000 hours on this game. Absolutely. It's not for me. But I would never again scoff at somebody who, if I hear on another podcast, I've been playing Minecraft, I'd think, oh, cool. That's cool. I bet you you'd have that. You obviously that kind of, I think also as well, another interesting thing, and I'll shut up after this point. But like, I think I've come to the conclusion I'm not a massive social gamer. Like, and I've been thinking about this over the past few weeks. Like, I've got a busy job. I spend a lot of my day on the phone, probably about 4 or 5 hours on the phone. And actually kind of when it comes to the evening, sitting down and playing a game, it's actually my kind of like take a breath kind of, couple of hours where I just like to be on my own.
Yeah, it makes sense, mate.
As much as I do like, playing with mates is fun. We have a laugh. I do miss that kind of decompression time of just sitting down on my own and playing something. And that, I think maybe I'm not a big social gamer. And I think that might have something to do with it as well.
So how about you, Andy? Any thoughts about your experiences with Minecraft?
Yeah, I think all of it resonates with me, everything that everybody's just said. I think first and foremost, I think the thing to point out is that great pick on your part, Mads, because it has absolutely served what for me was the most important purpose, was to get me au fait, to force me to get au fait with Minecraft and to have a better understanding of how to start it, how to play it, how to use the mechanics, how to use the kind of the various subsystems that's within all of that as well. So it's great, because I'll be perfectly honest, it's one of these things that in the last year, 18 months, whilst they've known about it, I've dreaded the kids coming up to me and asking me about Minecraft, because I'm like, I literally do not know. I was like, they would hand me their iPad and Hamish would be like, Dad, I'm stuck underwater, or this, that, or the other. And I would just be stabbing away at the screen like a 75-year-old man like their grandpa would and trying to work it out. So absolutely mission accomplished in that respect. It's I feel like I've got a reasonable degree of comfort, to the extent that even Hamish and I sat down the other day. He came up to me with his iPad and he was asking about various things, and he was talking about, I think he was wanting to go out to sea, and I said, have you got a boat? He said, no, I don't have a boat. So I said, here you go, you've got to create yourself a boat, all this sort of stuff. And he's like, oh, Dad, that's so cool. And it was such a little thing. But I didn't have the heart to tell him that I spent about 10 minutes trying to get back out the boat when I found out.
And then didn't realise that you were ducking, and he was moving really slow around.
Yeah, and had to ask multiple people which one the shift key was, but that's by the by. He doesn't need to know that. So, it's fantastic. And whereas maybe I think with other games that we've played, I like to bookend them within this podcast, I think, where I'll start it, I'll play it, and ideally I'll maybe like the likes of Dark Souls, God of War, etc. I'll rinse it, and then I like when we've finished the last episode that I can put it back on the shelf and never revisit, or unlikely to revisit it, and I feel like I've kind of put the game to bed. But that was never going to be the case with this game, and I don't really want it to be the case with this game because, you know, my kids are 5 and 7, so in many respects they're just sort of very much at the start of that journey, and I think there will be multiple occasions in time to come where we end up just playing all the different aspects of it. And I think that's, for me, has been the single biggest thing that I've got out of this, is that I feel that I'm now somewhat qualified to kind of to lead them through that, and then I'm sure it won't take long before they overtake me and they're off and running, but I can at least kind of help guide them along the way initially. With regards to kind of my experience of it, I think it's exactly as you were saying, Chris, is that I kind of in two minds with it, because every time I played it, every time I sat down and got involved, I really enjoyed it. Really, really mindful gaming. Great on the social side of things as well. It was always nice to chat to people. But then I think the flip side to that was that I think if I was just to, although I think maybe the reason why I wouldn't just go and pick it up and play it myself, and I think any time I do play it from now on, it'll be purely with the kids, is that I can't make up my mind as to how I want to play the game. That's the problem. I think I get frustrated having to go off and mine the materials, and the combat's pretty rubbish. Rubbish. And so I feel that the combat almost gets in the way of the exploration. If it was the case that you could go off and explore and then you got some quite satisfying combat whilst you came across enemies and maybe a few different enemy types, that would probably be enough to keep me going, to be honest. But it got to a point where it was, again, almost a double-edged sword, where I would want to do the exploring. I'd find these cave systems and you'd be like, oh, this is going to be great. I'll go off and explore. And then you could see a creeper or a group of zombies or whatever. Like, oh, God, I can't be done with this, because it was just... And it's a skill, you know, or lack of skill, on my part rather, is that more often not, if you'd end up in these, you would just get yourself into kind of what I consider to be the most exciting part of the game, the exploration, and actually be able to gather up some good materials. And it almost felt like you were being hampered by, or you're just being harassed by the in-game enemies. So you think, well, kind of, maybe I would enjoy just the sort of pure creative side of things, but you switch that on and you've then almost got the opposite problem, where it almost feels unearned and undeserved, because you've just got this endless bank of materials. And you think, you've got
loss of any jeopardy as well, which has an effect.
Yeah, so kind of...
It becomes a different game, for sure, when you go into creative mode.
Yeah.
But there are people who do the most craziest things. I mean, people who have recreated the entire Hogwarts together, like people, 32 people on one server recreating in a huge scale the entire of Hogwarts, for example, because they just thought that was fun, and spent maybe 6 months doing that. So people do the most crazy things in
Definitely. And so I think kind of I absolutely respect that side of it, and I think it's mind-blowing. I was looking, Hamish and I were looking at YouTube videos the other day, and it was like the 10 biggest Minecraft structures or something like that, and how many millions of blocks it had been used in it. I mean, it's just ridiculous, and I love it. It's just like, it's obviously such a vibrant and such a active community. It's incredible in that respect. But I think to get back to your point there, Chris, is that I'm kind of the same. Is that maybe I think because, and that was largely my own fault, but because when I was on, it tended to be at quite active times on the server, is that it was so nice to catch up with folk and to meet new folk as well. But similar, if it's kind of, maybe it's, if it's at the end of a working day or if I'm just kind of sitting down in the evening, I think sometimes it really depends. It very much depends on the game that I'm playing. But I do quite like to just put my headphones on and just zone into the game and just give that my undivided attention. Mm. And then I would sometimes find that it was, if people were chatting to you and stuff, the last thing you ever want to feel is that you're not giving somebody your time, exactly, or that you're not kind of maybe kind of giving them a kind of enough of a response or whatever. And so you're sort of typing things out or chatting away and stuff, whereas yourself, you're thinking, actually, you know what? I'd quite just to go off and explore something or do something. Yeah. And so it's a double-edged sword. And that's kind of, you know, it's one of these things where it's such a nice thing to have been a part of, and I wouldn't have wanted to do it a different way. But again, it's maybe just the there would be some nights where I could sit down and I had all the time in the world, and I'd be like, oh, quality, like there's a load of folk on and I can chat away to them. And it'd be other times if I was maybe on like for half an hour, 45 minutes, and you'd be maybe thinking, right, you know, you sit down with the intention, and it's not a bad thing, but you would sit down with the intention of getting something done, and you wouldn't even scratch the surface of it because you end up just like chatting to folk or kind of going off on a completely separate adventure and things like that. So it's,
and I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, what does an hour of Minecraft look like? And I think for me, it's like, it's not defined enough. Like,
well, I think that is exactly it for me. I think that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Is that I think maybe when I think, you know how much I love a checklist. And so I think when I sit down in the evening, because the time's quite precious, I think, right, by the end of this session, I'd like to have achieved this.
You,
or
I'd like to have seen
that,
something.
Or I'd like to have done this. And that wouldn't, you know, it's far from guaranteed by the nature of how you play the game. That's not a bad thing, but it's maybe what just makes it slightly less appealing to me as a consequence.
Yeah, I agree with you,
I think going forward for me, like it's not a game for me at all. But what it has given me is an appreciation. And whereas before, it sounds really bad and a really horrible thing to say, but like I would have looked down my nose like when Lucas was playing it.
Me too.
What are you playing that for? Play a proper game. Play this.
Exactly that, yeah.
Like me putting my own opinions and stuff onto him and telling him what to play. Whereas now, I'll sit and play with him, and we'll have. There might not be an end goal or anything like that, but it would be a nice hour where we just sit down and mess around and have a laugh for an hour or something like that. And that's what it's given me. And I think we played Minecraft Dungeons a while ago.
I'd like to play that,
and that was brilliant. That was fantastic.
I'd like to play that.
That was really good. And that now I'm actively looking forward to when Dungeons 2 comes out, because I know that, again, well, it's something that he loves and he's passionate about, and I can get involved and I can share in that with him now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah. It seems that we're all pretty much on the same page. I mean, I love playing this with my kids or socially, and that's where my energy comes from in this game. And it only lasts for, let's say, 20 hours. And then that session, I mean, then I need to go kill the dragon or something like that, then, because then I've done everything I want to be doing on a micro server. But I love looking at all of the stuff that the people spend more hours than we did.
Yeah.
What they did on the server and what they're still doing. It's
I love
amazing.
Your video that you did, that fly around. So cool. That'll be such a nice thing to have going forward and to look back on.
How do you have that sort of creativity?
Well, we're talking about, you know, I'm talking about sitting here watching YouTube videos. You don't need to watch YouTube videos. You just go into our own server
and see
what people have been able to do. And it blows my mind when you look at just what people have managed to create. And I love the thought. For me, one of the single greatest things about the game is that just to think, especially when it's people you know directly, is to think, that was all in their head.
Yeah.
And it managed to translate that. This structure or whatever it is, that was, you know, that all started off in their head or their head or their head, and they've managed to put it into put it into play, and it's there for everybody to see. It's such a lovely thing, and I just kind of, I love creativity.
Yeah, I'm in awe of it because I know I couldn't do it.
In all shapes and forms. And totally. And like, there's some things and some kind of, you know, attitudes that I'm quite creative in. And then there's others that I just, I'm at a complete impasse with stuff. And so it's with this to see some of the people who are obviously kind of sitting very high up on the creativity scale within the Minecraft mechanics. It's so cool to see.
It is. I was just going to say, one thing I do hope, like, in the future, I mean, this game is massive. This game is huge. So the chances of it being shut down and stuff at some point are very, probably very minuscule. And if it is, I imagine.
It is Microsoft, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is it.
Shut down tomorrow, mate.
Yeah,
this is it. You never know, do you? You never know. But I just hope that in years to come, like, we're very fortunate that we can go back and play our old games for the most part. Obviously, there's some that have been lost to time, but for the most part, we can go back and we can fire up our old consoles and all the rest of it. But for these games that are online and are server-based and do rely on it, I just hope that, like, when my boy's in his 30s or 40s and he wants to reminisce and be nostalgic for a game like Minecraft, I hope that's still there.
But it is, because you were running it on a server that's running here in my home. There's nothing on, you're accessing my server over the internet. So nothing was hosted by Microsoft or Minecraft or whatever. So this, I mean, when you have a Minecraft server and the Java version, you just get a jar file. That's one file. And that's the entire server. You can start that on your local desktop if you want. And then you have a server running there. The problem is the clients.
What about for the other version though, mate? Does that not require like some sort of Microsoft handshake?
Yeah, the problem is the client. Back in the day, when we were playing the alpha and beta versions of this, the client was the same. It's just one file you get and you'd run. But these days, it's this magical launcher that has to authenticate with Microsoft and go fetch stuff. So I'm not sure about the client, though. The server is always going to be there. But the client somebody is probably archiving these in ways so we can play without the credentials. But as it is right now, if Microsoft shuts it down, I guess you can't run it anymore. It's only the service that works.
Did you have to leave your computer running, Mads, which had the server on?
I have a server here that's always running. I have an S.
Right. So that's right.
Yeah.
So that's just always on anyway.
That's just always on anyway. It doesn't need a lot. It's just my storage server, really, that, you know, for my media that's running it.
And can I just say as well, because I think we'll probably say this at some point, but I just don't want to let it go unsaid, that, like, how lovely are the people, like, in our small but loyal community?
Mm.
What an amazing, cool group of people they really are. And I know there were others in the community as well, kind of much cherished, who didn't join in with Minecraft, and that's fine. But, like, I was thinking to myself a few times when we were online, like, you know, Morpin and Roushi and Donnie and Reese and John V and Stephen and Rowdy and people who I haven't mentioned, and so lovely.
Mm.
Just such and lovely people. We've, like, made friends with these people through this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the first to demonize the internet and social media, but, like, sometimes you have to remember that it brought us together.
Yeah.
And brought, like, all of, like, the friends that we've made through Discord and now through playing Minecraft together. It's great. I mean, getting to know other people as well. I mean, as much as sometimes, you know, you just want that solitary kind of experience, as we've just said. But actually, like, you know, chatting to Aaron Morpin's kids and following kind of Kelp Jammy around the server and watching him fly around on his gas and everything. Yeah.
Well, I think if anything, that's almost... Again, it's almost to its detriment at some points as well, because you go in with maybe the intention of making some progress within the game, but at the same time, because quite a few of these people are people that are quite active in the servers and people who we've kind of conversed with, but purely only in the Discord chat up until now, that when you get that chance to have that one-on-one,
yeah, you want to have a chat with them.
Totally. And so like the gaming almost gets parked for a while you're like having a brief conversation or whatever.
So yeah, we're simple creatures. We can't do more than one thing at once. So.
especially I've got a keyboard and a mouse in my hand.
Yeah, this is it. I'm using like 95% of my brain power. Yeah,
you cannot expect me to use my words at the same time as using a keyboard and a mouse. But I don't know for sure. I think, as you say, the nice thing was that there were definitely like a lot of the familiar names that we're on and chatting away to, but quite a few folk who are there, but maybe this is, it's just nice, I think, the way that we pick our games, and why this was such a great pick for Mads is that, you know, people dip in and out of various games.
Yeah.
Not every game is for every person, nor should it be. And so I think that's a nice thing, is that it felt like this was, we got to see a different side of our community and some different people as a consequence.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're 100% right in that, is that, you know, you could not ask for a nicer, a more welcoming, a more patient group of people.
Just open-minded and decent people.
Like, I think this is what I say to my wife every time, and every time I came off a Minecraft session, I was like, you know, it is kind of, it gives you some hope that we're not finished as a civilization just yet, because there are a lot of, you know, I think it tends to be the case, doesn't it? If you get kind of smaller groups of people with a common interest, then, you know, everybody, or the very large majority of us, know how to interact with one another, and just how to be nice and kind, and how to enjoy yourself ultimately, which is what this was all about. And you know,
it's been the kind of year, hasn't it? Like with Arcade Club and meeting up with everyone there, and now Minecraft and having all that time. Like, it's been that kind of year of just realizing that you've actually got a lot of lovely friends from all over the world.
Yeah, and I think massively, it's something that I know, and I know you guys, I'm speaking of you guys as well, just that I am so, so grateful for, is that that side of the podcast, along with everything else, it feels like it's constantly expanding as well, in terms of kind of how well we're all getting to know one another, and you know, new people coming in, and every time you have a meetup, there's more people that come along to that, and it's it's all very genuine. There's absolutely nothing that's forced, and there's nothing that's expected from anybody. It's just as and when life allows, folk dip in and out, and everybody tries to make it as enjoyable as possible for one another as they can do, and they do.
Yeah, who would have thought when you were sat playing your Commodore 64 or your Spectrum back in the 80s that would then lead you to be playing games 40, 30 years later and meeting people from all over the world and playing with people all over the world.
Of course, you could have done already back in the 80s on your C64, you'd just be playing Habitat. So
somewhere, John B was.
Yeah. I've never tried it.
No, I've never tried it. No, and kudos to you as well, Mads, because I think this was a brave choice. I mean, you didn't care what I thought or anybody else, but you kind of stuck to your guns, you know, despite everything. And I didn't think I'd be saying this, but I'm really glad you chose it.
Mm, oh, massively. Good. Yeah, for sure, definitely. And I'd also like, you know, the flexibility on your part as well, Mads, where you came in with a plan as to how we were going to play it, and then
you read the room, and
it became apparent that we might have to mix things up, and I think the way that you ultimately did do it, who knows, because we didn't do the alternative, but the way that you did do it meant that I enjoyed every minute of it. So, you know, I think it worked,
so that was good.
It really did. I think it's kind of an achievement in itself that I think that should be like a platinum award all by itself, of
absolutely
just getting
well,
us all on the server.
These Philistines.
I was thinking more about getting us all on the server and getting that, you know, actually being able to go out and defeat the Ender Dragon. You know, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to actually be able to corral us idiots together at one time and make it happen. So, yeah, it was quality.
It was hard work. I sat down at that computer and I immediately got up and went and grabbed a bottle of rum and poured myself a big, big glass of rum. And while we were fighting the dragon, I poured myself another one. And I tell you, when I stood up after those two and a half hours, I was dead drunk.
That's great. It's the only way you can get
just the nerves of trying to corral all of those cats together and see go into this direction. No, not over the gym. Don't destroy that block. Come on.
I'll always appreciate your patience, Matt.
Probably getting flashbacks to trying to teach me how to use the crafting table.
Don't attack the pig.
You've got to put one beneath it. But it is next to it. Yeah, but you need to put it beneath it. I know, but it's next to it. Yeah. Yes, but you need to have one at the top and one at the bottom. I know, I put it next to it and it's not working. I say, are they side by side or next to each or one under the other? Yeah, they're side by side. No, it needs to be underneath it. Bless you, Mads. You're a very, very patient man.
Yeah. This was a tough choice. I was very uncertain whether you'd actually want to play this. But in the end, I thought my goal was to get some gaming that we could do with the kids as well. I thought we had to try this. And I wanted to show you that this wasn't just a kid's game, really. There's so much more to Minecraft. So even though this may not be our game, I'm glad we tried it and I'm glad we played it together. So glad that all of the listeners joined us. It was just a pleasure playing with those guys. I'd be well up for doing this again in a year's time, starting a new server and just alongside the other game we do, maybe I'll play through some Minecraft with the listeners once more. So
it'd be an easy one to dip in and out of, definitely. Yeah, and I think now, especially even if it was just towards the end when a day and time is set, it's like, right, you know, we're going back. This is the day that we're going to go for the Ender Dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to hop on just kind of do a few sessions in the meantime and then join in for that would be fantastic.
Yeah. We've had a couple of people who couldn't join in or chose not to at the start and haven't now seen the chat and seen the videos and kind of have said, oh, feel like I've missed out. So yeah. I'm sure they'd appreciate it if it was
I'll definitely consider that. Maybe do that in the winter when winter comes and open the server for a month or two and then go for the dragon, see how far people get.
Yeah, it'd be a good build, a good sort of November and December.
Yeah, exactly.
Culminating just before Christmas or something, taking out the Ender Dragon would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we going to play a proper game now then?
Yes.
With a control pad.
Chris. So, Chris, what are we going to
play? I am
play
only
now?
Joking. I might throw my mouse and keyboard away. I was only kidding.
But go ahead, Chris. You have the next game, so introduce it for us.
Yeah, next up. Are we happy, by the way, that we're going to do Ghost of Tsushima next? We did toy with putting Brock in here, but I think given where we are, I think if we do Ghost of Tsushima, kind of hopefully by early August, we'll be ready for Brock. And I think that was the plan, wasn't it? That maybe use that as a Switch game and
or Steam Deck, and then if you're going on holiday, you can take it with you, can't you? Then
yeah.
So we're going to be playing Ghost of Tsushima, the Sucker Punch game.
Oh, it's Sucker Punch. Those are the guys who did the Sly Raccoon games, right?
They did Sly Cooper, and they did
Sly Cooper. Okay,
what was that game called, Jim? Seems like a game that you would know.
I don't know. Has it got an anthropomorphic animal in it? Is it?
No, it's not like Sly.
Is it a 2D platformer?
The one that Infamous series.
Oh, Infamous. So I've played the first one, which was it PS3? I think it was. Didn't get on with it that.
No, it wasn't that good, was it? I tried.
I never played them. There were three of them. I never played them.
Yeah,
but there was a big gap because they released Infamous Second Son in 2014, and then it was 6 years then, or 5.5 years. Oh, Ghost of Tsushima came out early 2020, didn't it? So 6 years. So this was intended to be a, from what I understand, originally intended to be a PS5 game, but they kind of brought it out for the PS4, but then it got a later PS5 Director's Cut version. Now, I don't know too much about it, but we were chatting. Were we chatting off before we started?
Yeah, that was offline.
Yeah.
So we were chatting offline about kind of how you can play this. Now, I watched the Digital Foundry video at the weekend. I think there are a few ways you can. I'm going to play it on the PS4 because reasons. It's a PS4 game. So
PS4 or PS4 Pro then?
PS4 Pro, mate, because that was the version of the PS4 that was current when it came out. So, there are rationale. But you can. So the way I understand it is, and this could be wiser than Mark, Jim laughing. If you play it on the PS5 without upgrading, you get like that back compat boost from the PS5. So I don't know specifics, but I imagine from what I understand, it can be a bit choppy on the PS4. Even it targets 30 frames a second, but I think it can be a little bit iffy at times because it's really pushing the hardware. I think if you play it on the PS5 in back compat mode, you'll get a more stable 30 frames a second experience.
Okay.
But if you go with the PS5 upgrade, which is one of those things that they charged a tenner for, I think initially.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like really confusing, wasn't it, when they first started doing stuff like that. You
have to download the PS4 game and then pay your money and then...
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
But now I think it is available as a PS Plus title as well if you've got a certain tier. You can get the Director's Cut version, which gives you 60 frames a second. Now, as much as I am a kind of weird slave to playing it on the hardware it first came out on, it strikes me that the optimal way to play it most definitely is get the PS5 version, because that'll give you 4K and it'll give you 60 frames a second. And
that's it's 60 on PS5, is it?
Yeah, I don't know whether in performance it's 1080p 60 frames or whether it goes for the full 4K 60. I don't know. It may well be if you go with quality mode that it runs in 30, but there's definitely a 60 frames mode on the PS5.
Nice.
I'm just having a look now. Yeah, 60 FPS on the PS5, whether you're playing the base PS4 version via backward compatibility or the fully optimized director's cut.
Bloody hell. So even in the back compat mode, it boosts it to 60 frames a second, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be playing the inferior version on the PS4 for some reason.
As I've said so many times, I don't think my eyes can do more than 30 frames per second anyway, so that'll
be good. I imagine it'll make a difference in this, but we'll see. We'll have a nice spread of views.
Sorry, Chris, was this one that got a PC port as well?
Yeah, got a PC port. Yeah, it's available on Steam. Yeah, it's available on Steam. I don't know too much about the game, so I haven't got a lot to say at this point. Go forth and start playing it from now. Yeah,
I know one thing I want to spoil. Somebody was talking about it on our Discord, and I was very happy to learn that it's a game where you can choose your playstyle. You can be Andy, and you can walk into a camp, and then there's something you can yell, and you'll be fighting 40 enemies at one time. But you can also be stealthy and try to pick out all of the enemies.
So you can be the animal of Tsushima or the ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Exactly. I know who Andy's going to be, but I'll be the other one.
All swords are wearing.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it Tenchu, wasn't it, back on the Tenchu, PS1? Yeah.
So look, I mean, from what I understand, it's kind of semi-open world. It's one of those kind of typical kind of action-adventure games where there's a very strong narrative of pull, but there are things that you can do in the side quests and that. You know, I don't know how long to beat something. I don't even know whether it's worth saying, but my son Seb, who's played this, he reckons around 30 hours for a leisurely kind of playthrough. Okay. I think you can do a lot more in the game and spend more. I think if you got through it quickly, you could do it quicker. I haven't spoiled the game for myself, so I've done a kind of the narrative, but the game, this is a shout. Seb listens to this podcast now. He was supposed to do the staging points and he didn't.
No, Seb.
There's still time, Seb. Don't worry.
But so the game is in three acts. I don't know anything about those acts. It struck me as a perfect way to segment it up. So we're going to do this in three episodes.
Okay.
Act one, act two, act three.
Yep. Simple. Nice.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
It's easy peasy.
Yeah, then it's easy to figure out whether you're past the staging point. Right, Jim?
Excuses with this one, then, I suppose, is there?
So you get to the end of Act 1, and it's controllers down.
But then you can do side missions, right?
You backtrack.
Absolutely not. You need to know when you are going to trigger the end of the act, and I'll be clamping down. I'm going to be clamping down on those who cheat. There's going to be punishments.
Uh-oh.
He's going to be the first. Yeah,
it'll be good. Obviously, we've had Dark Souls 3, we've had Minecraft, so this is more back to a more kind of linear type of game with less probably demanding combat, I suspect, but hopefully enough there to give us some fun.
I'm gonna have to try to see if I could get it installed tonight and just have a 10 minutes on it to see what it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
There is this thing, this Kurosawa mode that we mentioned earlier, so which means you can play can play it in black and white. Now, what I don't know, and we'll find out, I imagine pretty quick to find out, whether you can kind of change on and off on the fly.
Hmm.
The game is an absolute beauty, though, so it just strikes me on a first playthrough that you want to be seeing it in all its glory.
Well, this is going to be my first game that I play on my PS5 Pro, so we'll see how that looks.
Oh, nice. Cool.
There you go, good stuff. So I hope we enjoy it. We'll see.
Good pick.
It's got a lot to live up to after the last first-party Sony game with a Sucker Punch are a first-party studio now, with God of War.
God of War, of course, yeah.
We'll be comparing and contrasting, no doubt.
Yeah. Sounds good, mate. Looking forward to it.
Lovely.
Gents, any shout-outs before we turn off for tonight?
I think we've covered it all. Yeah, I think from my
perspective.
Yep, the most important one was to get a massive shout out to the entire community.
Yeah.
Those that were name checked and those that weren't. So you all know who you are, and thank you so much for making it such an enjoyable play. And thanks, Matt, for picking it.
An extra thank you to Roushi for really, really helping everybody on the server. If it wasn't Roushi, it was his son who's been helping everybody getting whatever they needed and figuring out where to find stuff on the server. So that was great.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I just say happy birthday to my son, Seb.
Happy birthday.
And he is now a proper listener to this podcast. He's gone back and listened to all of our other episodes as well. Oh, and nice. He absolutely loves Seb. It. So,
was he playing along whilst he was listening as well?
He's playing, so he's now going back and playing all the games that we've played.
Oh, is he? Oh,
does he play them the correct way on like the modern versions?
No, he wouldn't now because he's he does do that. He plays them the incorrect way. Although he won't play Metroid Prime for some reason, which I think is
that's good though.
He sees it as
there's a Switch version of that.
Yeah, exactly. There is.
I've got it. Yeah. As well. But yeah, happy birthday to him. He's 16 tomorrow.
Oh yes, quality.
Yeah. Many happy
exciting
research.
Times. Happy enjoy them.
So, guys. Thanks for joining me here, and I will see you when we, what are we, samurais? When we play samurais or ninja, whatever we are in the next
whatever game. We are.
Yeah.
See you the next
samurai
one.
Cold-blooded serial killers.
Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah. Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, screw it.